Four RVs were parked in front of the row of Gaudis, all of them painted bright pink, all of them without tires and wheels, sitting on the asphalt on their bare axles. They were unmobile, mobile whorehouses. Through the uncurtained side windows, Ryan could see a few naked bodies parading back and forth, offering the same delights as the permanent establishments, but at cut-rate prices. One of the women turned her bare backside to him, pressed it to the inside of the window pane, and bent over.
Would you look at that? Hey, Sam, I think I'm in love.
You don't want to go in there, pilgrims.
The group turned to a sallow-faced hawker standing 20 feet away, in front of the open door to the very best dry cleaners. He was dressed in a long khaki duster and holed sneakers. The open entryway to the dry cleaners was blocked, as were the windows, by heavy black fabric curtains.
Oh, yeah? And why's that?
Well, for one thing, them cheapest sluts will rob you blind. For another, they'll put a itch on you that won't never go away. But the real reason to give them a miss is they got no floor show.
The hawker pulled back the thick curtain in the doorway.
Come on in, pilgrims! There's no cover charge and no minimum. You'll have the time of your lives. I guarantee it!
Just then, a customer of the Gaudi came stumbling out of the door. His eyes were as big as saucers, and a frozen grin was on his face. He was clearly stoned on jolt. He lurched for the nearest concrete pillar, then wrapped his arms around it like it was a life preserver.
Whoa! You see what I mean? Nothing but fun! Fun! Fun!
Well, now, I gotta admit, I am curious about the entertainment.
All right, then. Let's go.
Ryan was struck at once by the acrid smell of spilled liquor and old cigar butts. The clusters of tables and chairs were deserted, except for a dozen or so bored-looking sluts dressed in tattered and grease-stained negligees. All of the paying customers were packed in close to the stage at the far end of the room. On the stage, a grossly fat woman danced naked in the light of gas lanterns suspended from the ceiling. She had a gargantuan belly, huge pendulous breasts, and enormous buttocks and thighs. Her body was covered, head to foot, with a fine white powder that looked like bread flour. She wore the long coils of her thick brown hair piled up on top of her head, but a few stray wisps had fallen loose. As she shimmied along the front edge of the stage, her mounds of flesh shuddered, and the white powder drifted onto the mirrored floor beneath her feet.
Dark night.
That's... wow. A whole lot of woman there.
Mm-hmm. Enough to make three, maybe four normal-sized girls.
Oh, all right, all right. Yeah, yeah, all right. Woo-hoo! Yeah!
The dancer did a hip-rolling 360-degree turn that showed off everything she had.
Come on. Oh, big dumpling, you know what we want.
Yeah, come on, give it up, baby. Woo-hoo!
The entertainer faced front, gripped her doughy right breast, and lifted it to her mouth. Sweat was starting to wash away the dusting of flour in places. From under her raised breast, rivulets ran down over the vastness of her belly. As she continued to dance, she began to kiss and lick her own nipple, which, as the flower disappeared under the lashing of her tongue, appeared as an enormous carmine red bullseye.
Talented lady. Wonder what else she can do.
I think we're about to find out.
The entertainer stepped down from the stage and started wending her way through the audience. The spectators soon had their hands and faces dusted with white, as one by one, the dancer gripped their ears and pulled their heads into her bosom and thighs. The men emerged from the brief embrace, gasping for breath and blinking flour.
These guys are either deprived, depraved, or delirious.
Well, I've seen enough. I needed a drink before, now I need two. Let's sit down.
They took a table against the wall. A barely dressed woman trooped over at once and began throwing out her best lewd poses in the hopes of drumming up some business.
Just bring us three jugs of your best shine.
And a gallon of suds for chasers.
That'll be 14 zealies. No tabs.
All right.
All right, coming right up.
The bar girl snatched the tokens up and scuttled over to the service window set in the wall. She passed the tokens through the window's barred grate and waited there for the barman to fill the order.
It's getting a little rowdy over there.
A bunch of the drunks hoisted the huge woman into the air and started passing her around the room over their heads while she kicked and vamped.
Here you are.
Do they ever drop her?
Oh, hell yeah. But she usually falls on top of them, so the customers are the only ones who get hurt.
The bar girl looked at each of the men in turn, one hand resting on a cocked hip.
Can I get you boys anything else?
No.
Forget it.
Sorry.
Then how about the girls?
Maybe later.
Big Dumpling was now trapped in the grasp of a group of 10 men, obviously a crew from the practiced way they worked together. The men held Big Dumpling up over their heads, but they didn't pass her on. They were led by a tall Coldheart with a shaved skull. He had a coiled snake, a cobra with its hood spread, branded into the back of his head. The red raised permanent welt was a popular method of tattooing in Deathlands.
Let's splat the hog, bitch! Come on! 1, 2, 3!
The huge woman smashed into the ceiling. The men caught the woman, staggering under the falling weight. When a few customers who were standing close to the action started to walk forward, a pair of the crew stepped out and made motions as if to draw their hand weapons. The customers backed up in a hurry, their own hands raised.
Back off, assholes! Okay, boys, again, harder! Maybe we can make her stick up there like a big white loogie!
No! Please!
1, 2, 3!
When she came back down, there was blood on her face, her knees, her elbows.
Looks like we're getting her tenderized.
No, please stop. I'll do anything. Please, please just put me down.
You ready, boys? 1, 2, 3!
A fucking sick man when you need one.
Probably sleeping in some parked wag.
What's the big deal?
If they keep that up, they're gonna chill her.
So what's your point?
So I liked her dance, and I ain't gonna let her die for nothing.
Before Ryan could stop her, the green-haired woman rose from her seat, 10-gauge double-barreled shotgun in hand. A jagged 2-foot-wide hole in the wall appeared. Bits of ceiling rained to the floor. The crew, frozen in position, dropped Big Dumpling onto the floor. There was nothing left to do but backhunt's play. Ryan's Blackhawk, JB's Browning High Power Mark II, Poet's Car 15, Sam's 9mm H&K P7, all cleared leather.
Are you bastards triple crazy? All he was doing is just having a little fun. Here you boys come up. Holy shit, Carter. It's you.
Yep. I really like your new snake brand, Vernal. But you should have put it on the front side of your head. It would have improved your looks.
No call for you to haul out all them blasters.
Vernal showed off his empty hands. He wore a blue steel auto pistol and a cross-draw rig on his left hip. The hammer was locked back in a ready-to-fire position. The others in his crew raised their hands as well.
We don't want no trouble. No real harm been done here. Just funnin' with the lady. All part of the show, and the show's over. No need to do any more shooting.
As Ryan sized Vernal up, he saw similar branding marks on both his arms, matching snake bodies wriggling down from his elbows, hooded heads fanned out on the backs of his hands.
If you don't want trouble, you and your crew better leave now.
That's fine with me. We're going. Come on, boys!
Ryan and the others tracked the men with their guns until they'd all slipped out through the curtained doorway. Over by the stage, Big Dumpling required assistance from members of the audience to regain her feet. The gunfire and subsequent standoff had cast a pall over the gaudy's festivities. Instead of resuming her act, Big Dumpling limped over to the table where Ryan and the others stood. She didn't bother to conceal her nakedness.
Hey, I appreciate what you just did for me.
No problem.
Those men of Shabazz's are triple mean. And they don't like being whooped in public. I'm afraid you all put yourselves in a world of danger on account of me.
Hold on, honey.
Those were Shabazz's men?
Yep.
Well, Ryan, you should have shot that snaky bastard. Hell, I'd pay good money to watch one of Shabazz's men die.
Traitor said no chilling unless lives were at stake. And that's exactly the way we're gonna play it.
Well, if there's anything I can ever do to repay you, anything at all...
Thanks for the offer, but we've got to be on our way.
JB, Sam, and Hun picked up the shine bottles and the beer jug.
Y'all come back! Come back real soon now!
What's wrong?
The floor show got a little heavy for us.
Oh, you didn't like Big Dumplin'? Everybody likes Big Dumplin'.
You mean everybody licks Big Dumplin'.
She's very generous with the person.
poet, Ryan.
I see him.
The tattooed man and his pals were loitering around the front of the next gaudy. A couple of them already had their guns out, holding them half hidden along the outside of their thighs. The crew leader looked over and gave Ryan that nasty smirk again.
Too late to cross the street.
Not unless we were to get shot up the backside.
They've regrouped out here. You can bet they have a plan by now. Going to try and chill us for sure.
We got to face them down or blow them down. Me, I vote for blow them down.
Hun, you always vote for that.
I second. I'm not backing down from that bastard.
It's 2-on-1.
You backing out?
No. Hell no. Just bringing it to your attention.
Well, you can pay attention behind me.
As they advanced, the refinery workers standing under the portico sensed the impending butting of heads and scooted out of the way. Those turned to statuary by Drink and Jolt were helped to one side by friends who could still move.
You're in my way.
Yeah, I suppose I am.
Move your ass, or lose it.
The tattooed man shifted his weight to the balls of his feet. His right hand didn't move for the pistol butt, but his fingertips lightly brushed together as he anticipated the grab.
I don't think I like the tone of your voice. Seems kind of unfriendly.
Then I guess you aren't near as triple dim as you look.
JB, Poet, Sam, and Hun fanned out on either side of Ryan, giving themselves clear firing lanes.
Maybe you can't count, One Eye. We got 10 blasters to your 5.
Take a closer look. Half your people don't figure in. They're pissing themselves already. They know they're gonna die hard. They're thinking about turning tail.
When Vernal took a half step closer, Ryan saw the wrinkles etched deeply in his forehead. Wrinkles that hadn't been there a second ago.
I bet that smart mouth of yours is what cost you your eyeball. You must be a triple stoop, Ryan, because it didn't teach you nothing at all. How about I take that other peeper of yours for a prize? Leave you alive, stumbling around with a tin cup the rest of your days.
The rest of Shabazz's crew smiled and nodded. Two men, with guns already drawn, seemed to relax. Their shoulders slumped ever so slightly. They weren't fooling anybody. Ryan knew they were going to open fire as soon as their leader took another step closer. Another step would bring Vernal well within arm's reach and allow him to block or deflect Ryan's draw. But Ryan didn't wait for that to happen.
My leg! The bastard shot my leg!
Ryan wasn't about to give Vernal the satisfaction of seeing him sweat, but the man's shooter had come awful close to taking off his ear. Only Ryan's quick sidestep had saved him from a maiming, or worse. The shooter, however, didn't get off as lucky. Ryan figured by the way the man's leg was bent that he had shattered a couple of inches of thigh bone, but he had gotten off easy. Ryan grabbed Vernal by the shoulder and turned him, locking a forearm across the front of his throat. Flesh sizzled as he jammed the blazing hot muzzle of the Blackhawk against the man's temple. Vernal's crew went for their guns as Poet, Sam, Hun, and JB swung up theirs.
Tell your boys to back down. Or I'm gonna turn your skull into a soup bowl.
Hey, come on, I'm just...
A familiar-looking wag skidded into the parking lot, scattering the crowd of spectators. The fat sec man pulled himself out of the driver's seat. Three more sec men exited the wag, and with their handguns drawn, took up firing positions behind the wag's fenders and hood.
You with the eye patch! Let Vernal go, or we'll kill you!
Looks like I'm rescued, Ryan. And your ass is nuked.
A lesser man might have tried to explain the circumstances to the rightful authorities, might have claimed that the other group had drawn and fired first, that the shooting had been in self-defense. Ryan was no whiner. When someone pushed him, he pushed back. Harder. He swung around the Blackhawk's muzzle and took careful aim at the fat man's forehead. The man was practically cowering behind the wag's open door.
It figures that you sec men would side with these scumsuckers. If you think that sheet metal is going to stop a steel-jacketed 357 mag, you got a big surprise coming.
I'm not going to tell you again. Put down your blasters and step back.
You put down yours.
Over the sights of the Ruger, Ryan could see the sweat popping out on the sides of the sec man's face, rolling like raindrops down his steeply sloping cheeks.
I'm going to count to five, then I'm going to open fire. One.
Actually, Ryan intended to start shooting on the count of two. His finger was already tightening on the trigger, taking up the scant bit of slack to the breakpoint. He knew his companions were doing the same thing. It was a trick Poet had come up with for head-to-head situations just like this. Nobody expected the blasting to start on two. Maybe on three or four, but never on two.
Hold it! Now everybody fucking hold it!
Trader burst through the edge of the crowd, the pistol grip of his Armalite in his right fist, its barrel leveled at waist height.
Now you all know goddamn well me and my crew's got business here. Important business with a Baron.
Out of fear or stubbornness or some of both, the fat man held his position beside the wag.
Hey, if you want to cost Zeal some biggest profits, you go ahead and start shooting. Otherwise, put away the blasters.
Vernal, call off your red blasted dogs. I mean right now. If Trader decides to call off the deal on account of this, Zeal will nail my head to his chimney. He'll do the same for you, too.